C1G.
Number 6A.
We come to the second day of creation, which symbolizes God as spirit. And our epitome here is spirit imparts the understanding which distinguishes between the real and the unreal, between ideas and illusions. So what happens as the second step? The first step is always that we go back to the origin. What is the origin? What is the creator? What is the cause of the universe? Mind. Mind creates in ideas. We saw that these ideas are good, and these ideas that are good make a true record, a true history. Now the next step is spirit, which says, and now I have to take that whole day of mind and keep it pure, keep it separate from all other concepts, so that I must have a line of demarcation between that which is of the nature of idea and that which is of the nature of illusion. I must keep it apart. And that is symbolized by the firmament. Mrs. Eddy explains firmament in the glossary as spiritual understanding, the scientific line of demarcation between truth and error, between spirit and so-called error. So you can see the line of demarcation is the dividing line between the realm of truth and the realm of error. So it's the dividing line of all aspects of God, namely between spirit and matter, soul and senses, principle and person, life and death, truth and error, love and hate, always the facts and the opposites. The moment I have a dividing line, I have the firmament, and I establish that firmament in my understanding. So the text here is in the Bible, first, from the point of view of mind, spirit as mind, says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And you can hear it is again the creative command to make a distinction between ideas, the waters above the firmament, and illusions, that which is the counterfeit under the firmament. So my epitome here is, from the point of view of spirit, namely, that spirit's understanding separates spiritual ideas from human conception. Can you see that when I can distinguish between that which the first day has created and its opposite belief, then I am using the second day, not the first day. I'm using the second day, the second step, that makes a clear-cut separation. Now, Mrs. Eddy shows that firmament, in the marginal headings he speaks about the spiritual firmament, that firmament is the understanding which separates between human conceptions on one side and the true conception, truth, on the other side. Therefore, all that which mind creates, all that are ideas of spirit then, when I really begin to see them as separate from its opposite. So my very first attitude, therefore, is, if I translate it to the human plane, my very first attitude, therefore, is that I make a distinction between what are ideas and what are illusions, and stick to the ideas. And I'm not going to mix up ideas with illusions constantly. So this is the very first command of mind to keep the ideas, mind, pure, spirit. So here we have a great tone of spirit as mind with that firmament that separates ideas from illusions. This is constantly the great demand on each one of us in every situation, first to have that ability, that understanding that can distinguish between that which is idea and that which is illusion. Therefore you can see why in our study of the synonyms we lay so much stress on having, so to say, two lists, the list of ideas of each synonymous term, and also a list of the counterfeit of that synonymous term. Because through that distinction, through having a list of ideas and a list of counterfeit beliefs, I have an instrument, I have the instrument of understanding, which can separate and distinguish between ideas and illusions. Why should I do that? The next subtone tells me why I should do that. Spirit as spirit. What does spirit as spirit tell us? Well, in the biblical language, it just says, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. So the Bible only shows it that God made that distinction factual, that he made that distinction. But Mrs. Eddy always explains it more in detail. Naturally, what Mrs. Eddy had to do with the help of a more scientific language, and after 2,500 years since the days of creation were written, you know, the days of creation were written very late in biblical history, about 550 BC in the Babylonian captivity. But after 2,500 years, naturally, this idea could be presented more specifically, and therefore she gives the more specific interpretation and shows here what I have tried to epitomize it like this. This understanding, that understanding which I have depicted in spirit as mind that can distinguish, this understanding, by distinguishing between the real and the unreal, brings the reality of all things to light. I could have also perhaps said this understanding, by distinguishing what are ideas and what are illusions, the reality of all things is being brought to light. Because when I have made that distinction and have put the illusions away, I have only left one thing, the ideas, and they are then the substance of spirit, they are then the reality of spirit, they are the reality of creation. So that spiritual ideas become the reality of creation. And I'm no more worried about the unreality of counterfeit beliefs. So the whole text that Mrs. Eddy gives, and it's rather a large text and a large explanation, all turns around one big point: understanding versus human beliefs. That if that distinction has been made, as asked to do it in spirit as mind, if I make it, if I really make that distinction, then she says, then the reality of all things come to light. So that the ideas become really reality, they become substance, and so the true nature of spirit is being seen. Then the Bible goes on to a further subtone, spirit as soul. The Bible says, And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. You see, it's a further step. First it says, let there be a firmament. That's a creative impulsion. Spirit as mind. Mind is the creative impulsion. Let there be a firmament. Then spirit as spirit says, and God made that firmament. So that firmament brought forth reality. And now, a step further, with a tone of soul in it, that it says, and that firmament is what? That's really heaven. Whatever that symbol means for us, or at that time, for us, naturally, it means also an exalted state of thought. That is the marginal heading here. An exalted thought, that is usually called heaven. And you can see, soul always resurrects. Soul exalts, soul lifts up. Soul is that which lifts us out of the body, that sees that everything is supreme over the material universe. And so here it shows that actually this understanding of idea gives us an exalted state of consciousness, something we always like to have. The epitome that I've given to this tone reads like this. Understanding, see, spirit is understanding. Understanding secures ordered progress. Now, why did I give that epitome? For the biblical rendering that the firmament was called heaven, because of what Mrs. Eddy explains in her text. Namely, in her text she says that through divine science, spirit, see that's the second day, spirit does what? It unites understanding. Well, the second day is understanding, we have seen, that which can separate. So spirit unites understanding to what? To eternal harmony. That stands for the symbol heaven. So that the calm and exalted thought, can you see that soul sense, the supreme sense, the resurrected sense, so that the calm and exalted thought of spiritual apprehension is at peace, the calm of soul, the balance of soul. Can you see how here the spiritual law tells us, if we want to have that most desired state that we feel within ourselves, exalted, calm, balanced, that we feel some kind of a heavenly state of consciousness, well, that is spirit as soul. Now, what would we do if we would not know the law that governs the days of creation? If we just would have that longing to have an exalted state of consciousness, what would we do to get it? I don't know what we would do, because we would try it this way, that way, and the other way, and sometimes we would somehow touch it a little bit, and then it fades away. Why can't we establish that in an ordered way, as a law of being? Now we can do it, because we know this is a point of intersection where spirit blends with soul, where spirit as soul gives us that understanding, spirit, which at the point of soul is calm, is balanced, is exalted, supreme, gives the sense of a heavenly state of consciousness. So if we want to attain that, all what we have to do is to flow along the law and the order of the days of creation. Therefore, we must go back to mind, to the first day of creation, and say, now, who is the creator of the universe? Who is the creator of what's going on anyway? Well, it's mind. And that mind, as mind says, I create all in ideas, mortal mind can't create anything. That mind, as spirit says, that you have to see that that mind, what it creates, is only good. And that that mind, as soul says, that creation that mind creates is not only good, but it has an eternal record of good. That's the first day. Then within our consciousness, we go to the second day and say, all right, that's like a promise, that's like like a proposition. Now I have to make it much more real to me. How can I have it as a spiritual reality? That's the second day. How can I do that? So I go to spirit as mind and see that this whole universe that mind creates is a universe of ideas which is completely separate from a so-called universe of human beliefs. Therefore, in order to make that distinction so that becomes actual, I have to turn to the reality of the ideas and see that that is the only reality there exists, that whole sense that material mind also could evolve something is not right, is wrong, is a false concept, is unreality. And so I stick to spirit, as the reality of everything, and that gives me, that brings an end to the struggle, and I feel it. You see, a struggle is as long as the two opposites mingle. Now if I only have one thing, namely spirit, as the only reality, then naturally something unfolds within me, which is of the nature of spirit as soul, that I say, oh well, and this reality is the only reality, it is far superior, far supreme over any other false concept. It's supreme over the waters under the firmament, and I get the sense of quietness, calmness, balance, peace, rest within myself, an exalted state of consciousness. So can you see what we do with ordered law? We can see that at every point of a synonymous term or their subtones, a fundamental issue is discussed, a fundamental problem is discussed, a fundamental problem that is there for everybody, that touches everybody, that happens in the experience, is experienced by everybody. So all those fundamental situations can be handled in an ordered way. Instead, as I said, to say, well, I would like to have a heavenly state of consciousness, and instead of trying, say, through all sorts and ways and means, through emotion and sentiment and working up one's inner emotion, try to find such a kind of a heavenly state of thought, we can go along the simple, pure line of spiritual creation. We can call it into existence by going along the order. So she says, thus the dawn of ideas goes on. That's the unfoldment of spirit, forming each successive stage of progress. Yes. Well, what is each successive stage of progress? That's really heaven, huh? So it shows us that if we go along that line of spirit, that line of spirit secures, so to say, heaven, which is an ordered progress. All right. So this would be the second day of creation, a day of spirit. And now we come to the third day of creation, soul. What is the additional spiritual step that you have to undertake in consciousness in order to fulfill the third day of creation. This is now a very important day. It's a crucial day. It's that day where we see that all that which mind creates and which spirit unfolds to a heavenly state, that all that has unchanging identity. That it isn't something that comes and goes. You see, we have to see that it's quite enormous what that law, that second day as spirit, as soul tells us, because it shows that if we don't clearly distinguish between, say, the spiritual and the mental, see, between a spiritual understanding and human belief and human mentality and mental activity, and therefore if we can't distinguish between the spiritual realm and the realm of mentality, of hypnosis, the realm of mesmerism, of magnetism, the realm of witchcraft, of mentalism, if we can't distinguish between spirit and the mental, we will not get heaven, but hell. That's very clear. Therefore, that enormous, important step of the second day to really analyze quite clearly what are values of God, ideas of God, what are not values of God, what are mental values which we may work up within our mind, within our mentality, within our, within our beliefs, within our mental activity, that we see very clearly the difference between the spirit and the mental. This will be the issue of the next, 10, 20, 30 years. And it's a crucial issue because the world tends away now from matter. It has seen that matter is not the answer, that material science is not the answer, that natural science is not the answer. So if matter is not the answer, then something immaterial must be the answer. But under the immaterial, we can understand the mental, just as we can understand it as the spiritual. And as the world is not used to distinguish between the spiritual and the mental, they take the mental as the spiritual, and that therefore the mental as the spiritual is thought to be divine, from a higher source, whereas the mental comes from a lower source than even matter. It's the worst thing that can happen to human consciousness, that it is captured by mentality instead of by spirit. I rather like to be captured by material laws than by mortally mental activities. Because after all, you can rely on a material law. You can rely on the law of gravitation 100%. You know, quite sure that that law works. And you know what is the outcome. But you cannot rely on a mental universe. And you don't know the outcome. Because it always leads to hell. And it gives men hell. That's where all the hypnotism, the black magic, the white magic, the mesmerism, the animal magnetism, the malpractice and so on steps forth. And the outcome is always hell. So, at that point where we see that the spiritual, if it is kept pure, will lead us only one direction, the line of spirit, namely to heaven. But then comes the third day of creation, which says, or which doubts and says, but is that heaven lasting? Or is it just a transitional, momentary, exalted state? Or is it something that can never be destroyed anymore? Has it the nature of immortality? Has it the nature of unchanging identity? And so the third day must answer this question. It answers that question, that's the epitome here reads, that soul bestows on every idea definable, unchanging, and self-reproducing identity. It is not only showing that soul bestows on every idea identity, but also shows that identity can never change, that it is unchangeable, that it is definite, that it can be defined, that it can be named, and that it reproduces itself, so that it never can get lost. This is the great message of the third day, a terrific message. And this is so important, so that we have a kind of security to build, so that we know that if we go along mind and spirit, that that will lead us into soul, where we get the security, the unchangeability of our attitude, and feel that we can persist on that law, that we can go along on that law, that we can rely on that law, and that if we rely on that law, that it will never let us down. Soul never let us down, because soul knows no loss, knows no change. Soul is that which says, I'm not coming and going, but I'm always what I am. I am that I am. And so gives us a terrific certitude and security for our spiritual endeavor. Okay.